I'm looking outside. It is definitely morning time. You guys are tripping.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 118 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and we're in store for a timeless episode, restoring force to earth and sky.
What does that mean? Tell me what all that sent. You've made that out of their song titles. I know. We know, right? But what does it even mean? It doesn't even make sense, but...
I thought it was a good one, because I always thought, you know, earth and sky are elements, right? And then this episode is so timeless that we're restoring force to the elements. That's how good this episode is going to be, Sean.
I don't know. It is a good episode. I'm not saying it's not a good episode. It's just those puns are fucking dreadful. Yeah. Anyway, yes, our guest this week is the fantastic frontman, bassist, and songwriter of Mice and Men, the fantastic Aaron Pauly.
Yes, and talk about a creative individual. There's a lot of different topics we cover here. And Aaron's a guy who's been in the industry for years. But today is a significant one for Of Mice and Men as we celebrate the release of their new 3-track EP, Timeless. Woo. And I know what you're thinking, 3 tracks? These releases are getting smaller and smaller. Well, something we've talked about a lot on the podcast in previous episodes is how distributing music is changing, and they are really throwing out the rule book, Sean. They've ripped their app, they've thrown out the window. You can't see it, because 2021, they're going to be putting out loads of different EPs and an album at the end of it.
Well, that's exactly what we started. That's what we said, like, episode 3 or 4, whatever we did with You, Me at 6. We were like, this is a good idea. We should start doing EPs. And then you've got an album by the end. Almost as if Aaron must be, and he must have been playing it very dumb on the interview, because he was pretending like he wasn't the biggest Sapnin fan. But I think, genuinely, we've sussed him out. He's obviously a big fan. And, yeah, it was what a fantastic chat with a lovely, lovely chap. And crushing new songs. Absolutely crushing.
Yeah.
Loving them.
Yeah, same here. I'm just excited to see where else they put out this year. But without sounding cliche, I do believe this marks another new chapter for the band. They're moving away from their past. They've signed to a new label now in Sharp Tone Records, and it seems to be a new lease of life for the band. And Aaron is going to talk all about that, including things from producing all of this material and learning off some ridiculous names, the struggles of living a normal life at home after being off the road and not touring, his side project Jamie's Elsewhere, and if you're a fan of Linkin Park, and I imagine a lot of people who listen to this are...
Wait, who the fuck isn't a fan of Linkin Park? Do us a favour, get in touch with us on our social media if you don't like Linkin Park, because I want a fucking word with you. Carry on, Morg.
But there's a very wholesome story of Aaron's experience with Chester and Mike Shinoda, and just the insight of how that band's work from a friendship point of view and a professional one. It's very touching. A lot of things going on, and another busy episode of the Sapnin Podcast as ever.
Yes, and yeah, as Morgan mentioned, this is a new era of Mice and Men. So for anyone wondering why we kind of don't touch on past members and stuff, it's because there's more people in the band than one dickhead, right? We have this, if you go to episode 54 of Sapling Podcast, we speak to Stuart Richardson of Lost Prophets, and you kind of get a behind-the-scenes look of how it affected the other members of the band, and that's what we want to... That's what we want to portray, and that's moving forward. That's what we want to do. There's more to these bands than the one absolute twat who spoils it, right? So we don't fucking mention previous members or whatever, and we're just looking forward to the future, which is all we can do at the moment, especially with the way the world is. Everything that's fucking going on with the virus, all we can do is just try and push forward. So yeah, thanks to Aaron again. Sorry to anybody who you know, was expecting some sort of shit-talking gossip, but we just didn't want to do it. We just didn't want to talk about... Just don't give him airtime. Fuck him. Stupid bastard. But anyway, yeah, great. We had a fantastic chat with Aaron. He was very open, very friendly, and thank him again so much for coming on and carrying on with music, because it would have been easy, absolutely easy, to just knock it on the head and just record and produce other people and... you know, do something else. But they've kept the name going. Yeah, congratulations to Of Mice and Men for how far they've got and the fact that they continue to this day.
Yes, very well said, Sean. And if you are listening to Sapling Podcast for the first time, please hit that subscribe button, tell all your friends, please, and share it with everybody you know. If you'd like to support this podcast in any way, we would ask you to go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapning, where if you check out all those different tiers, you get some exclusive goodies back for all your love and helping this thing be released each and every week. Every week, mind. We haven't missed a single one. And you get some bonuses from bonus content, extra podcasts, interviews, rambles, and a community of your new best friends who are all so wholesome, lovely, and the best people on planet Earth.
Yes. Yes. If you've listened to 4 or more episodes, I demand that you now sign up to Patreon, even if it's for a month, because you always at least that, because that's at least 4 hours of content that you've had for sweet effie.
Hey.
But also, if you've got any guest ideas or topics you'd like us to touch on, or you'd like to tell me that you don't like Linkin Park because you're a fucking idiot, check out at Sapening Pod on Instagram and Twitter. That's at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. Get in touch with us, give us a follow, give us some likes on some stuff. Please share our stuff, because it really, really helps getting us out there to more people, because we haven't got major backing, we don't have advertising, we don't have magazines back in us, we don't have a network, we don't have anything.
It's so literally
please,
just us.
Please, it's me and the send dog of rock. The other day, right, I was watching a Cypress Hill video, and yeah. I thought, it's me and Morgan Belay, the be real and send dog of podcasting.
Wow.
I literally wrote it down in WhatsApp to you, but didn't send it, just for the next time. I might have had a beer, right? So I just thought, next time I open this up, it's going to say, the be real and send dog of podcasting.
Wow.
So,
okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just us. So please, everything you do, share, rate, subscribe, tell a friend, tell an enemy. Please get involved and... yeah, we need all the help we can get. Thank you.
Wow, that was a weird rant, but I loved it. Thank you, Sean. Let's just get into it. This is the wonderful Aaron Pauly of Mice and Men. Check out some incredible stories and start their new era today. Celebrate the new release.
Sapnin!
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great
great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sapnin! Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin, gentlemen.
Yes! Yes! This week's guest is a bassist and vocalist for Of Mice and Men and Jamie's Elsewhere, the fantastic Aaron Pauly. How yes. are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, you were saying just before this started that you're eating sweets in the morning.
Ooh, what a way to start.
Yeah, well, I was just like kind of perusing the internet, just kind of reading today's news stories, and my phone buzzed and it says, hey, you have Zoom in 10 minutes. I was like, oh, okay, well, I better get dressed. And I already drank my coffee, but I didn't want another one because I didn't want to start getting real weird and start talking fast and stuttering and stuff. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to switch to some, what is this? Gummy X's and O's.
Ooh, nice.
Like, I think it's like generic Trader Joe's food.
It's funny you mentioned the coffee, though.
Yeah, because I've just had three of them, and now I'm vibrating. So
there you go. You're hearing in color.
Yeah, I'm hearing your answers before you've given them. So
that's perfect. That'll make this
you
easy.
Could just be. Yeah, I was going to say, if you just want to be quiet for the rest of the podcast, I can just. You could go if just, you want, and I'll just.
I could just let you infer all the answers. We don't need to. Yeah. We don't need to talk
according
here.
To, yeah, according to me. Yeah, right. So before we start, are you sick to death of the Key and Peele sketch substitute teacher, and are you sick of people calling you Aaron?
Oh man, you know what? That kind of died out.
Oh really?
I think I'd kind of enjoy it now.
Oh.
Maybe it would bring a sort of like bittersweet nostalgia. Yeah, but that was like the coolest thing that's like ever happened to my name.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
And the amount of people were like. Yeah, it went from slapping the bass to Aaron. And I was like, man, like it was a little more, it was a little kind of more tailored specifically for me. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd much rather be called my name in a different way than just be shouted at for something I do. So like slapping the bass. Like I'd rather be Aaron, but
well surely you should just combine the two for like Aaron slapping the bass. That should be, that's a merch line, surely, somewhere.
You can, theoretically.
Oh. Anyway.
No, but I mean, how's things with you? How have you been coping so far of 2021 and all this madness that is a new lockdown world over the last year?
You guys ever seen that Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that. I can't believe it's January in 2021 already. The last show I played was actually in February. So it's been almost a year. We only played two shows in 2020, which I actually like went back through my memory. Since I started playing shows in 9th or 10th grade in high school, last year was the least amount of shows I've ever played in a year. Unless you count the ones like I do for myself, which... I think are pretty great, but audience of one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How have you been coping with it? Is there any methods that you've used to keep yourself alive, I guess? I don't know. Interested?
Yeah, just mental breakdowns and then mental buildups, just kind of over and over. No, I mean, I've been doing a lot of music. I think I tended to live a lifestyle that was pretty close to what people call social distancing anyway. Prefer to be at home and I prefer to chill and watch movies and like create stuff and play video games, and I'm not too big on like, oh, I gotta go out and like be out in the world. And maybe that's probably got something to do with like touring for a long time, but trying to stay motivated when you're not sure what's going to happen next is kind of the hardest thing. But I think I've gotten in a pattern where I'm now like, I've put doing work, like doing the work, into my daily routine. So it doesn't feel as like, as work. And it also doesn't like add to any pressure of like, oh man, this, what's the future going to be like? Cause I think I spent a long time worrying about what the future is going to be like. And then you have a year like 2020 and you're like, actually, I shouldn't really worry because I have no idea.
Yeah. You cannot guess the future anymore. Like before this, we were all like, yeah, we'll be touring. It'll be fucking fine.
Yeah.
It'll be
festivals. We're like, what are the Simpsons saying about 2020? Like, and pretty accurate.
They said what? No, Donald Trump's not still going to be. He is. No.
Oh man, dude. I'll never forget that day. I was like, is this real? Or, and then I woke up the next morning and I was like, did that really happen? Feels like a fever dream.
Yeah, and then 4 years later, like, Jesus, I can't believe this happened every day for 4 years. And now, but yeah, congratulations, because he's gone, obviously. So hopefully things will pick up for you guys now.
Yeah, I wonder if he's just, because he doesn't have Twitter, if he's just sitting somewhere in a dark room just seething.
I won the election in a landslide.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
it was stolen from me.
He's gonna become like Dr. Evil. He's gonna come back out into public life and be all bald and not tan. Just
yeah, he's gonna do like the John Travolta's finally done and just gone. Oh, guess what, guys? You've all known for years, but now I've got no hair. Here it is.
That is, dude. I'm waiting. Honestly, that's why mine's so long, because I'm just. I know I'm going to end up like James Taylor and just be bald.
Oh, no.
But it'll be fine. I'll tattoo like a big old eyeball on the top of my head, or like tattoo another face like on the top of my head. So it's just like really
what you should
strange.
Do. You should put it on the back of your head. So if you don't want to talk to anyone, you can just turn around and then they still think like they're talking to you.
Oh, that would be so heinous and hideous. But I am really into it.
Yeah, wow. You could have like you could have like things put in, you know, like people have like horns and stuff put under their skin. You could have like a facial structure,
I have a nose put into the back of my head that I like break every time I sit on an airplane.
Oh, it'd be awful.
I broke my back nose.
My neck. Well, I don't think absolutely anybody listening to this expected any of this to happen.
No, I think this is a very strange start, but I mean,
I love it.
But like,
nowhere to go but up.
Obviously, Aaron, you've been like very busy creatively in this time as well, with New of Mice and Men, and of course the return of Jimmy's Elsewhere. Is it just being a really kind of inspirational time for you to write and record new music?
I tend to get inspired in waves and just burn myself out till there's nothing. So I kind of, there's a lot of days where I'm working, I don't know, like 10, 12 hours on a song, because I get sucked into it. And then there's some days where I go to sit down and I'm like, I just feel like I'm fighting it, or I feel like I'm fighting my laptop or fighting the ideas or melodies I'm hearing. So like, yes and no. It's cool that there's the illusion that people think I'm super busy, but there's definitely times where it's like, I'm just sitting on my couch waiting for the next lyric or next line or something to pop in my head. I think like in creative processes, there's a lot of time where, at least for me, like I spend thinking about what I'm working on instead of actually working on it, which to me is kind of equally important. It's also a good excuse. So there you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, yeah. Timeless comes out February 26th. What's kind of inspired this EP, these songs?
So we kind of started doing this around, I want to say March, April was when we kind of started getting this group of songs together of 2020. It was like right off the back of Shiprocked. What's funny is none of it really had to do with lockdowns or the pandemic yet, because that hadn't really started and it hadn't really like shut everything down the way that we thought it was going to, I guess, at that time. So a lot of the restlessness of how the songs can be interpreted now that we are in a pandemic, I think stemmed from just getting older and just kind of, I think the older you get, the more you realize things like your own impermanence or how times change and how some of the people that are in some of my favorite movies aren't here anymore. And I think that kind of, it can be interpreted as like a hard punch to the stomach, but I think over time there's somewhat of a like romantic way of looking at that, of like beauty in impermanence, you know? And I think that that's a lot of the theme of these songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I noticed you had said previously that like these songs are really, when you think about it, like a difference of being in a band in your 30s compared to like early teens and growing up on the road. I mean, what are some of those differences and struggles you've experienced over the years of kind of getting older and in the music industry?
It's what I call the Peter Pan syndrome. It's you... You go out on the road for 6 to 9 months out of the year and you have a routine and you kind of making 3 or 4 albums is, you're talking about like 5 or 6 years, and we are now on our 6th, working on our 7th album. I mean, the 7th is kind of in the form of EPs and whatnot, but you have those moments where you're off tour and you go back home and you see the people at home and you're like, man, like they all have houses, they all have kids, they all have, careers, they all, it seems that everybody is growing and getting older and I'm not, because I'm doing the same thing over and over and over. And there's somewhat of like a youth preserving quality, I guess, about that. But at the same time, I think you have a year, or at least I have a year like 2020, and it's like, okay, I got to learn how to be a person, not just an entertainer, or not just somebody whose routine is so set by a schedule, you know? So I think it's one of those things that it's kind of balancing that. I think that's probably one of the hardest struggles, is just feeling like, you know, not only do you miss out on like a lot of birthdays, but you miss out on funerals, you miss out on things like that. And I think, yeah, it's just one of those things where time kind of stops and you realize like you've been out in space and the world has still been turning. So But it's not a bad thing. I think like once you can kind of come to terms with that, then everything you do, or it starts to become more purposeful, I guess. If you're aware of your own impermanence, then you're aware that time means something beyond just, you know, seconds ticking by. And here I am eating candy at 9 a.m. So like,
I think
there's
you
a certain
win.
Amount of nihilism you got to balance your existentialism with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think you nailed the whole band life thing there. Like, I couldn't agree more. Like, I think the old Peter Pan metaphor is perfect.
You're doing it, Peter.
Yeah, when my former band started, I was like, I was probably 20 or something, and I genuinely don't believe I've grown, like I've grown up like an adult since then.
Yeah, same.
And that's probably, yeah, that's 17 years ago, yeah, I'm 37 now, Jesus Christ. But
how old? No.
Yeah, 37.
Do you have like a filter on? Because you look great.
I don't think so.
He loves that.
I like this. He loves this. Anyway, well, welcome to my new co-host, Aaron Pauly. Our guest this week is former co-host Morgan Richards.
Wow, this is taking a turn.
Feels great too.
Don't start. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but as you said, it's definitely a unique lifestyle. But like, do you find it hard sometimes to communicate that with people who maybe don't realize what bands actually go through, or like some of your friends, as you mentioned, that aren't really into music and all that, like how different things are?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like I have a group of guy friends that all do different things, from, you know, doing private security, being veterans that have gone overseas, to people that are mechanics and people who are engineers and scientists. And it's really funny because we can all relate to the fact that none of us really do the same sorts of things. And I think being in a band, especially like for our band, the members in it, like we're very involved in our business and everything else. So like, it's kind of multifaceted. There's an artistic side to creating the music. And then there's also an artistic side of trying to figure out how to make the ones and zeros somehow, you know, work in the cash flow and whatnot. So I think the funniest thing is dealing with people that I haven't seen in a long time that will like look up my net worth on Google and it says $12 million. And I'm like, what? There is there's not $1 million, like let alone 12. So I've had people from high school hit me up that are like realtors and stuff. Like, I'm selling this gorgeous house on this property, and I'm like, that's awesome, some rich person's gonna really enjoy that, but like, dude, you're barking up the wrong tree.
That's brilliant.
I don't know, so maybe it's but all of it's funny. Like, I think if you don't take it too seriously and you just enjoy it, like I think now that I'm in my 30s, I realize the blessing of having a career in music, because I get to create music, and that's like that is the treat in all of it. It's not everything else.
Yeah. I've noticed you've said, I noticed the band has said quite a lot that this is a new era for Of Mice and Men, and you've signed to a new record label now in Sharp Tongue Records. Obviously, yeah, you've still got a great relationship with your former and everything like that.
Of course. But
was this just a new injection of creativity and kind of momentum to do something different and to work with new people?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we had a good formula with Rise for our releases and stuff that worked. I think, you know, we'd done 6 albums, and basically it was our second or third contract renegotiation that we had fulfilled. So we took a bunch of different offers and meetings from people, including Rise. And I think with where our heads were at, with how we wanted to release music and how, and this is even before the pandemic, you know, we signed with Sharp Tone, I believe, at the end of 2019. So basically, just having a bit of a switch to where we felt like it was more conducive to how we wanted to release music, you know, like in the form of EPs and singles, and maybe not focusing at the time on long format albums and whatnot, you know.
Well, what's inspired that decision to do EPs and stuff instead of albums? Is it playlisting and algorithms and...
You know, it's funny because it's not any of that. It's we always tend to write and work in chunks anyway. And we feel like, you know, if you look at a lot of the hip hop model and you look at a lot of the successful young musicians that are coming up and out of that scene, they create a song with their homies. They like it. They're not signed to anybody and own their own masters. They upload it to TuneCore and it's out in a week. And their fans can keep being fed new music. You know, like, we live in an era where like nobody's patient, like nobody has patience for anything. Like, I get pissed when I go on Netflix to look for a show and the whole thing's not out. Like, what? Oh, wait. You know, like I was watching a video where somebody was talking about that, how culturally we just don't have patience anymore because of the internet. Like, you go on Yelp and you can find the top 10 restaurants that are within a mile of me. And then nobody has the patience to go and try places anymore, you know? And I think for us, there was something about the freshness of having written an idea. We produce all of our music, and like, at least since this EP, I did the mixing and mastering on it. We all engineered all of our own parts and whatnot, and just did it over Zoom and sending tracks back and forth. So like, for us, having the ability to if you're familiar with the term in like the restaurant industry, farm to table, if you're like the ability to go farm to table from our collective living rooms working on music and getting a song to then saying, okay, well, we can get this to our fans, because when we're writing, everything we write about is kind of a reflection of what we're going and a reflection of the times that we're in. Back and think about that moment, but it doesn't engage in a conversation about that moment while you're in that moment. So Sharp Tone's been great with allowing us to experiment with things like that, you know. And we have phone calls every 2 weeks where we talk about like how the single's doing, how what people are thinking about it, you know, like how we want to introduce new music, because we're sitting on a stockpile of it. And it's really cool to be able to kind of do that. It's almost like you get to cook a dish and give it to them, and you get to watch them eat it, and you go, okay, cool, you like this or you didn't like this, well, I'm gonna go back in the kitchen, I'm gonna make you something else for the next one. And it's kind of, it's, I think music is, has always been a conversation that maybe in the past could be a little bit more long format, where I speak in full paragraphs and you speak in full paragraphs and we listen to each other. But the way that we, you know, the way that we communicate now in 2020 is, here's a thought, here's a thought. You know, I don't send full paragraph text messages. I send, oh yeah, ha ha, enter, sent message. Then blah, 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 I'm sending more, sent message. And most people I know do that. And I think we went from being people that used to write things down on walls so that we would remember them forever because we were patient, to now we send text messages and we have Instagram stories that last 24 hours or Snapchats that last 15 seconds. So like the ability to kind of have an active conversation with the way that people speak is kind of, it's exciting. And to us, it's cool because it's, you know, we didn't really announce that we were putting out a song, and then within a week or two, the song was out. And that was exciting because it wasn't, it's not, you don't have to try and draw patience out of people when people have such little patience anyway. I don't have any fucking patience. Freaking patience. Can I say the F word?
Oh, you can swear on this. You can
all of the words. You can say all of the words. There's not a word on you. You can say. Yeah, no, there probably is, actually. Wait.
There are definitely words.
There's definitely
some
words, Sean.
Don't go down that path.
It's interesting to see that, you know, Of Mice and Men are releasing music in these various EPs, and then obviously it'll combine into an album, because we've talked about it a lot with bands on this podcast where, like, you know, the SoundCloud rappers and everything are just releasing singles all the time. They're all jumping on each other's songs, but we're not seeing that enough in the rock industry. So on the flip side of it, I mean, for you, are these three individual EPs kind of like chapters for the record for you?
Yeah. I mean, they all kind of, it all kind of, you know, I don't want to like give away too much about it, but you know, it revolves around the loss of my mother-in-law and also Tino lost his mom during the pandemic. And so a lot of the record is us. And it's funny because these first three songs sort of set the stage for everything because they were written before all of that had happened. And so a lot of what's to come is the emotional process of working through that and understand, and just trying to understand it. That's like that's the craziest thing, is just understanding that life as you know it. When you're talking about parents, you're talking about it's like the sky. It's something that's been there since you've been born. A lot of it, like I said, it's about impermanence. It's about understanding that, like, someday the sun's not going to be there. Someday the earth's not going to be here. Like, and I think we last so less long than any of that, and I think it's important to be aware of that, because then you can move more purposefully with regard to your relationships and with regard to how you live your life. So a lot of it is just kind of working through those things, because music is how we've always worked through everything. That's like kind of my go-to, because I don't really know much else, you know. So
yeah, well, yeah, regarding you self-producing these EPs, I've got written down by you, and I don't know why I've written in Australian, but I've written Obsolete is a fucking ripper. So
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know why I went Australian. I never use the word ripper either, so it's fucking ripper. And yeah, so that's congratulations to you guys, because yeah, I thought your voice sounds the best on some of the songs I've ever heard. So
thank you.
To you for the vocals and for you for producing it. Yeah, there's nobody else who can kind of take the credit. So yeah, congratulations to you guys on this sound. It feels heavy, it feels urgent, it feels fresh. Yeah, you've done a fucking fantastic job.
Well, thank you. And a lot of it was kind of born out of necessity, because there weren't studios open. And there's not, when you're in a pandemic and there's no studios open, it's not, okay, well, how are we going to try and figure out how to do this? For us, we, you know, I used to, before I was in Of Mice and Men, I used to record local bands when I lived in Northern California, up near Sacramento. And then I stopped when we started touring, because I just didn't have time for it anymore. So when it kind of came back up, and technology is so much better now than it was 10 years ago, and it was usable 10 years ago. So I was really confident that we were going to be able to do it. And at the same time, it was exciting because it's, if you're in a pandemic and you don't have anything to do and you don't have touring and you give yourself little projects of, okay, here's three songs here, here's four songs here, you know, and you work on it like that, it's A, much less daunting. B, it's more exciting because you get to kind of packet things different. You know, if you have an album that has a really broad range of songs, the way they sound, the way they're written, sometimes it can get too broad and it can feel like the album's not cohesive. And then on the flip side of that, if it's too cohesive, it doesn't feel like there's anything, going on. My manager just texted me making sure I was good to do this podcast with you guys. I'm gonna text him back when we're done and tell him to reschedule it.
Yeah, we'll be doing this again tomorrow. No, it'd be brilliant. Right then, since we spoke to you last,
what's happened since?
But with producing this now, I mean, you know, of Mice and Men, have worked with some fantastic producers over the last few records as well. So was there an element of you that was just learning off of all those experiences, getting into the studio and seeing how they approach things?
Yeah, you know, like for us, having worked with the producers that we worked with in the past, I was like probably irritating with how I wanted to be in the room and I wanted to just see how everything went down. Because to me, David, before I was ever in Of Mice and Men, David Bendeth was a hero of mine. You know, Chris Lord-Alge was a hero of mine. Howard Benson was a hero of mine. The fact that we then get to work with these people and sit down and see how they do things and realize that it has so little to do with the studio and with the tools, and it has everything to do with what they hear and how they're able to interpret that and get it to where they want. And so that's the exciting thing. The fact now, like, it's funny that you mentioned the way that the vocals sound on the album. I literally use the Howard Benson vocal plugin that has his, that has his signature delays and reverbs basically preset up. And a lot of the presets were, I think, created around like vocal stems from Defy and stuff like that. So like, when the plugin first came out, he actually sent it to me before it debuted publicly. And he's like, what do you think? He said, you remember how I always talked about how like I wanted to have one of those plugins like Chris Lord-Alge has? It's just like my sound and you just turn it on and it works. Like how great that would be. I was like, yeah. And he goes, try this out. And literally I use preset number one. It's the HP vocal one.
I've never gone to two. Two could be anything. Yeah, two could be insane.
Not to spill the secret, but it's funny that you say that. But I would never think to utilize a tool like that if I hadn't worked with him and saw how he used it. Because you could probably also make a terrible sounding vocal with that plugin. But if you kind of think about processing the vocal the way that he thinks about processing the vocal, where you add reverb or delay and how much, and if it's stereo or mono, like all those sorts of things, it's really cool that, and for anybody watching this or listening to this, is it video too? Are they watching this or are they just listening?
No, just listening.
Okay, they're just listening. Well, they're watching with their mind's eye. Okay, you at home watching with your mind's eye and listening.
You watching with your ears.
As I'm making all these grandiose hand gestures, I mixed and mastered Obsolete and the Timeless EP and all this stuff on a 2012 MacBook Pro, like the kind with a CD drive in it, single core i5. Like, don't think that you need really expensive, really modern stuff to make records, because you don't. Like you just don't. And it's not to say that there's not value in that. I think everybody, you know, it would be a blessing for everybody to be able to work in big studios with big producers. But if you've got ideas in your head that you wish, man, I just wish I could figure out how to like turn that into a sound, download GarageBand. It's free. Or download Audacity or something like that. It's also free. And start tinkering, because it's, you'd be surprised what you can do with like really old technology. And 2012, I guess, is pretty old for a computer. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's almost 10 years. It's almost 10 years.
There's definitely times where it's like it's doing something. Like I'm bouncing down a guitar track or something, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get up and have some coffee, and I'll come back to this in 15 minutes when it's done for a 3-minute song. You know, But it's also cool. It also exercises patience, which I think sometimes it's during that rendering time that I realize I've made a mistake. And once it's done in 10 minutes, I will correct that mistake.
That's the worst. Yeah, just starting it. Right. Oh, I know what I've done. I forgot to put all of the drums in the song.
I did a bounce of the EP, and I was like, yeah, it sounds awesome. I listened to the first song, and I was like, hell yeah, and I bounced it all down, and I started mastering it, and I got to the third song, because I was working all in, like, one project file, and I got to the third song, and and I'm working with, like, stereo bounces, and the third song had no amp on the guitars, so it was all just, like, DI guitar. And I was like, this is terrible. I have made a big mistake.
Yeah, I made a grave error.
Either that or I've revolutionized the genre.
I was just about to say.
I'm taking us all the way to the alt-rock charts, boys. They hate distorted guitars, but they didn't say anything about screaming. We're good.
Yeah, that might be a, yeah. You should do like a remix. You should do a remix EP where you just put it out like that with no ampage on the guitars. So it's just bing, bing, just, bing, 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 bing.
I'm going to do like a Luis Capaldi like covers EP where it's like all the instrumentals are the same, but I'm just screaming. Hey, and do it like 5 dB louder than the instrumentals, and people would be like, this is terrible. And it would also be the second thing that popped up. So when you looked up his song, when you're like, oh, somebody you loved, I'm like, oh yeah. And then literally after that plays, my version plays, and they're like, holy shit. They're like, someone needs to check on this guy.
Wow, this dude is angry with his family. What's going on?
Could you imagine those lyrics with just like when you're just going at it, all out of breath, snot coming out your nose? People be like, damn, this guy's like, he's really going through it. And then it turns out a year from now, I'm headlining Glastonbury.
Lewis is covering of Mice and Men songs.
I love it. He's fantastic. Oh,
he's brilliant. He's absolutely amazing. Absolutely. We are trying to get him on here now because we
Right now.
Well, he's not going to pop up in this conversation.
Oh, I was like, okay. No, do you need me to go? Like, I'll vacate. Just kidding.
Yeah, imagine. We'd love to get him on because we know he loves rock music and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love to know who he fucking likes.
You'd love to know if he will if he's down for the cover EP.
That'd be good. Yeah. I'll ask him. Yeah. If we get him, I'll mention it. I'm gonna write it down.
Be like, how would you feel about like a grown man just lamenting and wailing over your music?
He'd probably love it, to be honest. I'm sure he'd love it. But speaking of kind of advice and things you've learned over the years, I've noticed that you've always said that touring with Linkin Park in the past really opened your eyes to a lot of different things, songwriting, and especially just having kind of one-to-one chats with Mike Shinoda and the rest of the boys. I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I believe that advice is something you take into songwriting every single day now.
Yeah, you know, when we went on tour with them, it was the Hunting Party tour, and the bill in Europe was of Mice and Men, Linkin Park. It was a two-band bill. It was a two-band bill. We were going on in arenas like an hour and a half after Doors to completely packed places. And they were a band that after the first show said, hey, we watched your guys' show. It sounded great. It looked a little bit dark. So now at the time, they, you know, because of like show contracts and writers and whatnot, they had offered us a certain percentage of whatever the stage lighting was to use for our show. And I think at the time it was like 80%, which is crazy. If you talk about like Linkin Park giving you 80% of their live light rig to use, that's a lot. And it was funny because after like the first or second show, they came back and they were like, yeah, you know, show sounds great, but it looks a little dark. And we're like, yeah, well, we're really maxed out with our lighting and everything else. And they're like, oh, well, you guys should have spotters. And we're like, yeah, but you can't really afford to pay, because you have to pay, you know, you pay for that, basically. The people in arenas that are spotlighting you, everybody gets paid. So they covered it for the rest of the tour. And I think they ended up giving us like even more of like the video wall to use. Like they were a band that literally cared about us and about us doing well and about us having fun. And that was it wasn't mind-blowing to me, because I figured if somebody's that successful, they have to be like great, lovable people. I just don't see how like anybody makes it in this world if you're not. It seems it's diminishing. I won't say that it doesn't happen, but it's definitely diminishing. You know, the you catch more flies with honey than vinegar is definitely proving to be true. But just everything, we were working on, you know, new music at the time. And, you know, even before that, like before the Hunting Party tour, our song Feels Like Forever off the album Restoring Force, Mike Shinoda helped me write the ending to it. I sent him the demo of it and he goes, what if you did something like this in the song? And he was like on a flight to Japan to do some awesome Mike Shinoda something. But he literally took time to go through our songs, upload all the stems, cut it up, send it back, and ask for zero credit. Like he's like, use any of this or none of it, you know? And just talking to him about like the way he sets up songs melodically, the way that when you're thinking about how a mixer is going to mix your song, how you want to have things that go kind of all through the frequency range. If you just have guitars and bass and drums, you have a lot of low mids, but there's nothing really high and sparkly. So that's why Linkin Park would add like a lot of pianos and a lot of stuff that would kind of sit up here in the mix, because it gives your ear something to follow. And like, you know, songwriting as storytelling, songwriting and sonics as like leaving breadcrumbs for people to follow, like how certain things make your ear follow the beat and or not, like, and just taking the time, like that was the big thing, was like, just, he didn't have to do any of that. Linkin Park never had to do any of that, and it still would have been a fantastic tour, because their crew and everybody that works for them and made that tour possible was just grade A, just fantastic people. But they were, and they did, and they cared. That made the Chester loss really, really hard. He was a buddy of mine. Anytime I would have anything wrong with my throat or vocals or anything, or just kind of feeling anxious about stuff, like I would text him, and I found myself texting him even after he passed, and then realizing like, shh, I can't send it, like, fuck, you know? And, but they care. And I think that comes across so deeply in their music. But yeah, I mean, I can attest to it that as people, they care. So there's lots of lessons, and just, if anything, it's just, you know, it's nice to, The Rock said it, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
And I thought, oh, Dwayne, yes.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, beautifully Dwayne said.
2024.
What a guy. That's a celebrity I wouldn't mind becoming president.
Oh, he's going yeah, to. I'd imagine
everybody,
so.
Like, but think about it. Like, I couldn't imagine anybody, like, not being behind it. I don't know. Maybe I'm sure if he had some like fucking crazy policies, but like, he's a really like good, genuine, hardworking dude. Cares about his family.
Yeah. The thing I'd want to see with everything though is during the debates and whatnot, he'd have to do proper wrestling smack talk between everyone. I mean, he'd have to. I want him to just go in on whoever's.
Shut up, bitch.
Yeah.
You're the secretary for trade. Know your role.
Yeah, he just goes full on. He's like, I know you're not talking to me, jabroni.
Joe Biden or whatever. It doesn't matter what your name is.
It doesn't matter what your name is. Damn, I remember getting in trouble in elementary school for like quoting The Rock.
Oh, really?
You remember being like a 9-10-year-old kid watching WWF, being at elementary school, like telling everyone, suck it, and you have no idea what you're saying to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Clock's chopping like mad, like, yeah.
Oh, it's God. Mad that
we got away with it. Yeah.
And you find out what you're actually telling people to do and you're mortified. You're
like, yeah.
People do that?
Yeah. But I told him to do it. What if he actually said yes?
I'm just a little kid. You mean people do that? That's gross. I'll never say that again.
While we're talking about, I guess, meeting and befriending heroes, is there any other stories that you've got where you've, like, had to fucking check yourself or, like, pinch yourself? Like,
oh, my Dave Grohl story. Oh, go my on, Dave then. Grohl story. So my life went from zero Dave Grohl to, like, 96 to 100 Dave Grohl in a matter of a couple days. So it was several years ago. It was the I think 2014 or 15. No, 2014 sounds right. I went to one of my friends who lived up in Northern California. I live in Southern California. He was flying down And like an asshole, he decides to fly into the airport that instead is 10 minutes away. He decides to fly into LAX, which is like the big Los Angeles International Airport. And it's much further away, bigger pain in the ass. So I was like, okay. Completely unlike me, I got ready early. Well, that's not totally unlike me, but I'm either early or I'm late, which was why I was in here early, because I'm either early or I'm late. So I decided that day to be early for whatever reason. So then I get there, and it's also something I wouldn't do, because typically I just would circle around till he's ready. I decide to park, and I was like, okay. And then I decide, okay, once I'm parked, I'm actually going to walk into the terminal where baggage claim is and wait for him there. And like, when I think about it, it's really out of character, right? I'm sitting there just waiting in the Virgin terminal, and about 100 people walk by because like a flight had just got out and they're going to wait by that baggage claim and get their bag. And then Dave Grohl walks by, and it wasn't like there wasn't a part of my brain that was like, holy shit, that guy looks like Dave Grohl. My brain went, holy shit, that's Dave Grohl, because it was Dave Grohl. And he's standing there. Everyone's around him. Nobody's bothering anybody because it's the airport and they don't fucking care. He gets his bag and he just goes outside and he's standing there. And I was like, I want to ask him for a photo, but I don't, because I don't want to like hose him. I don't want to be like a punisher and like just while he's at the airport bother him. And then we had just gotten off tour, and I was like, doesn't bother me when people ask me, so fuck it. I'm gonna go ask him. Worst case scenario, I'm gonna get a hilarious story about how like he like dicked me off or something. So I literally go up to him, and I had my phone ready, and I was like, hey Dave, I don't mean to bother you, but I'm just a really big fan. Would you mind if I get a photo with you? And he takes a step back and he looks at me and he goes, let me ask you something real quick. And I was like, oh, here it goes. I'm ready for it. Like, just lay into me, Dave, you know? And then he steps back in, he goes, where do they end up? And I was like, do you have Instagram? And this is like 2014 or something. And he's like, I think so. I think the band does. And I was like, well, if you go on Instagram, you can see tagged photos you're in. And we had just been on tour. So in my tagged photos was photos of me with fans. And I was like, yeah, and fans from all over the world can tag you in the photos that they take with you. And he just like steps, he goes, what band are you in? I was like, oh, I'm in a metal band. We're called Mice and Men. And he goes, and he hits me on the chest. He goes, I've heard you guys. You guys are fucking awesome. And I was like, no way. It was the year that we'd won the Revolver Golden God for You're Not Alone as like best single or something. So I was like, damn. So we were just like talking for like 10 minutes. And it was like me talking to like another band dude, just about like geeking out about festivals. We both talked about how like it's way too easy to get too drunk at award shows because everyone's like, have a drink. And then it's your time to do something. And you're like, whoa, like, so we were just, and then, so literally at the end, I was like, Dave, it's been so good. Like, I don't want to take up any more of your time, but like, I'm sure I'll see you around. Rock and Roll is a Small World. It just came out. And like, when it came out, I was like, yes, like that sounded so
nice.
Yes, I didn't say something stupid. Like, see you later, Davey boy. Like, I didn't say anything like that. So then literally the next day we're at our management's office, cause we're getting ready to sign 5,000 pre-order posters for the Restoring Force Full Circle reissue, which 5,000 is a shit ton of posters.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Boxes on boxes on boxes. It is a room full of boxes and posters. So we're signing. Of course I post the photo everywhere, you know, cause it's Dave Grohl and I met Dave at the airport and that's awesome. So then literally the next day, one of the girls who worked at the office, she goes, yeah, you met Dave yesterday. I was like, yeah. And he was awesome. He's every bit as awesome as anybody ever says he is. And she was like, yeah, he told me that he met Aaron from Of Mice and Men. And my brain, I was like, yeah. And I was like, wait, what?
What?
and she goes, you don't know? And I was like, I don't know what. She's like, no, I'm his family's nanny. I've watched his kids for the last like 7-8 years. And I was like, what the hell? Okay. So that was like 0 to like 60 Dave Grohl. My life had 0 Dave Grohl to now 60. So then we're signing posters, and then she was getting ready to leave for the day. And I was like, yeah, tell Uncle Dave. I said, what's up? And she goes, okay, I will. And so then literally maybe an hour later, we got an email, and it's Dave Grohl holding up a sign that says, hey, Of Mice and Men, have fun signing a billion fucking posters. And he's just holding it, just flipping us off. And so then since then, he's like, He's invited us out to like multiple Foo Fighters shows. Like I've seen Foo Fighters in LA, Australia, Denmark, like from stage, like, and he's just the coolest dude. He gives everybody the time of day. Like he just hangs out backstage in artist areas. Like I'm sure Foo Fighters has their own compound and he's just out with everybody, just hanging at catering, just like shooting the shit, taking photos. And like, it's a cool thing because people see him there and they feel like they're a part of something bigger. And that whole energy of like, oh, I'm going to treat this like a community instead of, oh, it's cool, I have my own fucking dressing room and you can't come here. Like, he is just like, he's a rock legend. He's a rock god. So like, and he's every bit as human as you would want him to be. But my, yeah, my life went from zero Dave Grohl to within like 3 days. It's like, damn, like,
I can't get rid of him.
I was like, damn. I was like, we know each other now. And like,
yeah. But yeah, Dave, stop emailing us. Just leave it. Look, we met once at an airport and now you're annoying us.
It's dude, he does so much for rock and roll and just so much for music in general. And like advocates for, you know, his mom's a teacher and he advocates for teachers. Like that's a good dude. Protect him at all costs.
I remember seeing him backstage at Leeds Festival, and me and my former band were having food at catering, and some kid like was backstage and he like sat by us and he was like, oh, I've just snuck backstage. He's like, I'm not supposed to be here. And we were like, oh, don't go telling anyone. For God's sake, don't go telling anyone. And then Dave walks past. I like, oh, I'm just calling him Dave. Like, Dave, die walks past. Dave walks past. And the boy runs up to him. And he's like, Dave. He's like, I've just snuck backstage. And Dave's like, shut up. Stop telling people. That's the first thing you should do is not tell people that. And then he had a photo with the boy. And then, like, the boy came back to the table with us. And we were kind of like, he hasn't snuck in with us, mind. He's like, no. But he was absolutely lovely.
Guy.
Wow.
Yeah. But what I found is most people in the bigger rock bands, like you said, like Linkin Park, Dave, for example, those people who have done it and have done it at such an amazing level tend to be the most down to earth and kind of normally people that I've come across. I don't know if it's the same for you.
It was, like before their show in Australia during Soundwave, like, do you remember? I think it was during Download. But it was Download Australia was happening at the same time that the Foo Fighters was headlining stadiums in Australia, like the 65, 80,000 cap stadiums. I think we went and saw them in Sydney. Literally, they're getting ready to play a stadium, a fucking stadium, not an arena, a stadium. And we are in the dressing room and Dave is like giving me shots of Jägermeister. And he's just drinking Jaeger out of a cup. And he's like, it's German vocal tonic. I was like, yes. When you think about like how monumental the task would be at head of playing a rock show in a stadium, he's just thinking like, I'm going to have a good time up there. And they're going to have a good time out there. And it was. And it's just like, I don't know. It's really, it's inspiring to see that you can be like that and have a place in an industry like this. Because there's plenty of people that won't. There's plenty of people you'll never see backstage. There's plenty of people that will never like talk or do any of that. And that's fine. Like everybody's got their own preferences. But it's cool to see that people can reach the top and not be jaded by it.
Mm. There's some lovely, lovely stories there. But Aaron, just two very quick things now before we let you go. Obviously, as I mentioned, this being a very busy last few months with you with the reunion of Jamie's Elsewhere. You're releasing new music and everything, but what else can we really expect from that project now? And how did the reunion come about? Was it something that was in the pipeline for quite a while?
No, we had started talking about it at the end of, at the end of 2019. I'm burping up all that candy now. See, decisions have consequences, you know, and now I'm paying for mine by burping up delicious gummy treats. We had like started talking at the end of 2019 about possibly doing something in 2020 for the 10-year anniversary of They Said a Storm Was Coming, which was the album that I did with them on Victory Records back in 2010. But with the pandemic happening and none of that happening, that conversation kind of shifted to, well, hey, what if we like do a reissue of it, like a vinyl reissue? And everyone's like, hell yeah. So we got the ball rolling on that. And then literally one of their, I think there's like three major plants in the world that manufacture the vinyl lacquer that goes into making vinyl records. And one of them was in California and it blew up. So vinyl, that's why vinyl for everybody has been delayed, like since about a year ago. Like vinyl seems to be on back order a lot of times. So that didn't end up happening. And so then that conversation then transitioned from, well, okay, if we can't do the 10-year show and we can't reissue the 10-year vinyl, can we maybe make a new song or something? I was already working on stuff with Mice. I told the guys, you know, like I have the capabilities to do everything here. The Jamie's guys, like all get together and work like worker bees. They have like such a crazy work ethic with it, but they always get together and they write instrumentals and upload them. And I have a full Dropbox of stuff that doesn't have vocals on it yet that I'm sitting on. Being that guy, you know what I mean? Being that guy in the project. No, but you know what? It's all cool too, because like, you know, Matt has another full-time band that he's doing, and the guys have careers and families and stuff. So it's been fun to do as a fun project where we get together and it's like, okay, let's all like write a song for fun instead of like, oh, I've got deadlines. There's no deadline with Jamie's. The deadline is when people stop caring.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a thing for you. As you mentioned earlier about people stop caring. Yeah, what I've noticed from like the Mice and Men comments and stuff on the videos and like Obsolete and other things is that your fan base is very, very supportive of you guys and it seems fucking solid.
It's been awesome. I think they give us a wide berth to exercise creativity while not abandoning us. And I definitely think that we are very blessed in that regard and that we are not, it's definitely something that we don't take for granted. I think the most important thing we offer in our music, or that any band can offer, is like honesty and a port for emotional connection. Like a place that it offering something of yourself in an honest way so somebody can listen to it and go, oh, I relate to this. And then it's not something that's just like, oh, I can relate to this, but it comes from a vapid place or something like that. Like, so I think honesty, integrity, buzzwords, confidence, perseverance. I swear I saw this on like a poster when I was in kindergarten. No, but you know, I think all those things, as fun as it is and to joke about the cliche, it's all kind of important, because I think people are such good detectors of bullshit without really understanding why it might be bullshit, but they'll know, like they'll smell it immediately.
Definitely. Well, yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, man. It's been a lovely chat, some great insights into everything, and I'm very excited for all this new music for the rest of 2021.
Yeah, I'm very excited too. Thank you guys for having me. This has been awesome.
Pleasure. Cool. Pleasure.
You
know, thank you
very much. It means the absolute world to us. So yeah, hopefully we get to do one of these in the flesh at some point.
Definitely.
That would be nice.
What do you have going on? Are you still playing? You guys still?
Yeah, I started a new band called Raiders, and then a week after we came up with a band name, somebody stole all the socials and the name on Spotify. So that was fun.
God damn it.
I'm still trying that. Still having a bash. Still shouting, running about, and smashing myself up on stage.
Good.
But yeah, it's
good. It keeps us young until our heads fall off.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not that I'm young looking. It's just I've scarred myself so much by hitting myself with a microphone that the skin
actually
just regenerated
it all out. Yeah, it's like there's nothing that exfoliates like a SM58 to the face.
Oh yeah, you get a 58 beta to the dome and you are fine. Oh, but
I'm taking some to the mouth. I lost this tooth during a show.
Oh,
got knocked out the whole tooth.
Nah, the whole tooth and nothing but the tooth. No, half the tooth. Handle the tooth.
That's what happened.
Jesus, dude. Oh, my neighbors are like, this guy's fucking crazy. I bet you my neighbors think I'm fucking crazy. Who's he talking to?
You listen to Sammy Podcast?
Yeah!
Oh, I thought you were going to see how long you could go for then.
No, that was the tape fading at the end. I've been working on my sound effects. I don't know if they're any good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've turned into Jones from Police Academy. Is that what you're going for now?
No,
you're going for
not quite.
Are they remaking Police Academy? Because that'd be quite good.
Well, with me in it, I don't think I'd be any good with me in it.
You could play Jones, you could play the sound effects, dude. I'll play Zed. Was right. it Zed? The fella with... sounded a bit like the Tasmanian Devil. Do you know the fella I'm on about?
Yeah.
He was played by comedian Bobcat Goldthwait, who did a film on Bigfoot. Anyway, I've gone too far talking about comedians. Yes, that was the fantastic Aaron Pauly of Mice and Men. Thank you very much to Aaron for coming on. Yeah, what a lovely chat. What a lovely chap. Definitely go check out the new stuff. It's awesome. It's really good. I get a real feel of like an urgency to it. Like, can we imagine? Oh, I just can't wait to gigs. I'm just living in this land of dreams now. Of imagine how good gigs are going to be.
Oh. Aren't we all thinking of that? But yeah, as you said, the new EP Timeless is out today. They're going to be releasing a load, putting out a lot more of EP releases throughout the year, and then combine them for that giant album towards the end of 2021 as well. So make sure you...
Giant album?
Yeah, basically they're printing it on a... I don't know, I'm going with this.
keep going.
An A1 piece of paper.
A1, is that all?
Yeah. It's bigger than your six or whatever. No, what? How big is an album sleeve? An CD is about a... vinyl.
I don't fucking know.
Three times the size of that, I'd say.
No. It was rectangular, though, wasn't it? That's the problem. Anyway, lest we've gone... Sorry about that. You said giant album, and I instantly thought of a vinyl like 20 foot wide that you could only play on top of like a roundabout or something.
Jesus Christ. But yes, keep an eye out for all of that. And
you're not going to miss a giant album.
You're not. And of course, Aaron's side project, Jamie's Elsewhere. But he was lovely. He told some beautiful stories. The whole thing about Linkin Park was mind-blowing. And the fact that he's like good friends with Dave Grohl now. Just throw that in there. Love to see it.
It's a small world, isn't it?
It is.
It's a small world. Die, Grohl, man. Die. If you're listening, and I know you are because you're big friends of Aaron, and you're I shouldn't really. No, I won't. I'm not going to say that.
You can't.
But I can't. No, I can't. I can't out him. But he's a great friend of ours. Is our Die Grohl. Thank you very much for being part of the Patreon. Oh, I said too much. Shit. But yeah, unbelievable stories. This is what it is, isn't it? Like, this is what we're learning and what we're getting more from every week that we go on. Is at the end of the day, we're all just humans who have been blown away by having moments with some of our heroes and some inspirational humans, and we're just finding out that those inspirational humans are just humans as well.
Yeah.
So there's no magic powers. There's no anyone's better than anybody else.
But it's like you. It's like you mention a lot of the time.
Dynamic you.
Like when you find out that Dave Grohl gives that time and is so nice to people, right? He's fucking Dave Grohl. He was a drummer for Nirvana. He's a singer for Foo Fighters. He's fucking massive. Same person. Don't know if you knew that. Inside journalist knowledge there. I've outed that on the podcast as well. But he's such a star. And when you hear how nice he is, you can just think, well, we should all be that nice to each other. We should all be friendly. Yeah. We should all give each other time and not be a giant dickhead on social media like some people are.
Is that a go at me?
No, it was a go at someone else, not you.
Oh, all right. Does anybody else know that Dave Grohl was in Nirvana? Or is it just is this brand new? Is this breaking new? Because we should have... If this is new information to everyone, we should have opened... You should have gone, Saturday, Sean, shut the fuck up. Listen to this. I've just found out Dave Grohl was in Nirvana, right? What?
You missed that. This is mad. You missed that. Did you? You didn't realise.
Well, I never...
To be fair, when the light's out, we are less dangerous. So what? Here we are now, entertaining us on Sapnin Podcast. If you like our mad ramblings, please go and give us a follow and like and everything on our social media pages at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, I'm doing it. At SAPPENINPOD. At SAPPENINPOD. We might have to cut that old funny Dave Grohl bit out now just because of those awful, awful puns.
Nah, staying in. And go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin for even more chaotic puns. Sean's crying.
Oh, It's just the look you give. I was like, oh, that old Dave Grohl bit's gonna go. And you're like, no, I'm staying. Anyway, carried on. And just didn't miss a fucking beat. And oh my god, alive, my cheeks are wet. Anyway, enough of what I was doing before we started recording. My facial cheeks are damp now as well.
Yes, please go and check out patreon.com/sapmin. As I said, more mad rambles, more bad puns, and some bonus content for you to dive into with our wonderful family members.
Yes, we are about to record some stuff right now after this as well, didn't we? Exactly for the Patreon. So yeah, like you said, patreon.com/sapmin. Please support your boys where you can, if you can. If you've listened to more than 4 episodes, you owe us £2. That's it now. You owe us £2, so send me £2, please. And yeah, thank you very much to anybody who is a member of our Patreon, has considered being a member of our Patreon, has formerly been a member of our Patreon. We literally couldn't do this anymore without you guys. This literally, yeah, it helps us be able to put this podcast out each and every week for free to the majority of people who listen to this.
Yes.
For free, like.
For free. Madness. And speaking of saying thanks, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names in there that we say thanks to. Every single member of our Patreon community means the world to us. But Sean is now going to read out a list of the elite members. Those are the people in the top tiers. And as I say every week, some of them have probably changed their names to something funny to poke fun at us or have a laugh at our expense. So let's see what they've come up with this week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's have a guess of what percentage makes fun of Morgan. I'm going to go with 0. Anyway, thank you very much to these very special people. Everyone involved in our Patreon is a special person. Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Dilly the Sweetest of Sweet Potatoes Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Michael Engler, Liam Connolly, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Owen, Dana Lasnova, Petition to Fire Sean Smith, Fuck You Janelle Caston, Scooby Drew Styles, happy birthday to Drew Styles for the other day, Kat Besant, Sammy G, Tom Fuck Mash Potato Owen, Amadine Urbano, Tony Michael, Shani Meyer Boxer Anderson, happy birthday for the other day, Sarah T. Mash Brown James, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Scott Goose Fat Roasted Potatoes Jones. Thank you very much to Bert, Dan Gies, or Dan Gies. I still need confirmation on that. Thank you very much to Simon Amos, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Erin Howard, Emily Senegals, Lucy Deans, John and Emma, Becky Andy, Jenny Robertson, Louis Cook, Marty Jacobson, Jason Heredia, Lord Craig Harris, because who doesn't want to be a Lord? Caroline Robertson, Cassandra Kuwicek, Kelly Cannon, James McNaught, Kevin Clark, Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Sharif Awadali, Chris Howard, Ollie Team Tats Amesbury, Sappy 33rd birthday, Mr. May. Love, Katrina. I don't know who that was aimed at, but that must mean it's somebody listening, right? With the surname Mr. May. who isn't involved in our Patreon. Katrina, get him involved. Thank you very much to Jacob, Team Mini Roasties Turner. Josh, I replaced our bed with a king-size trampoline when she finds out my wife is going to hit the roof. Chris. Alice Wood. Adam, King of the Goths, Parslow. He's written that after I called him out. Everybody check out the nightmares. And last, by no means least, Keris Andrews. Thank you very much to all those people and everybody involved in the Patreon. It literally does keep us going. So if you've enjoyed any episodes whatsoever, if you've enjoyed four or more, you got to join the Patreon.
Please, for at least please do. We'd like to keep this thing going, and we appreciate everyone who helps us do that each and every week. So thank you to everyone part of the Patreon. Thank you to everyone who's listened in. Thanks to Aaron. Thanks to Sean. Thanks to me. Thank you to the positive souls in the universe. We'll be back next Friday and every Friday with a special guest. And next week is a little bit of a throwback, but that's all I'm going to say now.
I genuinely don't know what you're talking about, so I don't know. Well, I'm bound to know what you're talking about, but I don't know who's next.
Well, find out, Sean.
The only way to find out, if you want to know a day before, you want to join our Patreon, patreon.com/Sapnin. Anyway, turn on, everyone. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
But really, if you're send dog to my be real, so if I go, Sapnin! You've got to go, Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.